Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. John Medeiros is our guest this morning. He is one of the co-editors, and he also has a piece included in this collection. It's called Queer Voices, Poetry, Prose, and Pride. John Medeiros joins us this morning. Hi, John. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I saw something on social media. I learn a lot of stuff in social media. And of course, social media is horrible in a lot of ways and depressing. But every so often, something hits me that sticks with me or that seems to explain a concept that I couldn't really put into words. And I saw something that said that a pride parade is not about celebrating being gay. For example, it's about asserting the right to exist without harassment or harm or injury or death. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that, you know, wow, that, I don't know, it was sort of a missing piece that seemed really significant for people who are not a part of the community to understand, because I think that sometimes we miss a lot of points. Mm-hmm. The reading series that Queer Voices draws from has been in existence since 1993. I'd like to just touch on that series a little bit. Is it arranged kind of like a book club where folks have the opportunity to read pieces and then come back and talk about them? Is it more like a performance of different pieces? What's the reading series like?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, Andrea Jenkins and I started co-curating the Queer Voices reading series in 2005 when the director of the organization that started it, Sassy the Right Place, asked us if we would sort of take over the helm. And we decided, at that time, we thought, well, this could be anything we want it to be. What does it look like? And initially, it was a reading series where LGBT-identified authors could read their work in a safe, non-judgmental space. And so we featured initially two readers, and it was once a month that we did it. And then we did that for several years, and then it became quarterly. It became quarterly sometime around 98, in 2008, when we had the financial crisis, and there were some financial reasons why we couldn't have it as regularly. So then we had it every quarter. And when we had it every quarter, we featured more writers. I think it was anywhere from 4 to 6 writers. Again, all LGBT identified and all at various places in the writing spectrum. Novice writers to very well-published writers. Everyone had a space. And what we noticed around that time was that at the end of the reading, there were lots of questions and there were lots of comments that people had. So we incorporated a Q&A session at the end of the readings with each reading to allow the audience to participate. So it wasn't just that people were getting read to. It was that people could learn from each other. The whole point of the reading series was to create a queer community through literature, or a literary community through our queerness, whichever way you want to define it. It was using literature as a tool as a catalyst for some type of social change. And so we get to learn from each other. People would ask questions around craft. People would ask questions around content. And people would ask questions around just what it means to be a queer voice in the world in which we're living right now. And so over the years, it's morphed to incorporate a lot of different voices. We've had people perform plays. We've had people, musicians perform, sing songs. But all of it is centered around the literature of the voices in our queer community.
So as the reading series moved to a book, as the conversation moved to a book, one of the things that is mentioned in some of the, you know, advance information about the book has to do with the importance of civil literacy And I'm wondering what is meant by that.
Well, again, it's using our words as a catalyst for social change. It's using our stories to advance equal rights. It's using our stories to illustrate why queer-identified people should be treated equally. And that's really what it comes down to. That civil liberty or that civil literacy is using literature in a way that's more than just telling a story, but it's using literacy in a way that's telling a story to create some kind of change. When this series went on for many, 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 many years, and there was one month that we had it where we were approached by the Minnesota Historical Society Press, and they said to us, we've been coming to your series. And I should also mention that the quality of the writers in this series is stupendous. It is noticeable. It is palpable. And when one of the senior editor-in-chief at the Humane Society approached us, he said, I've been coming to this, and I've been seeing the quality and hearing the quality of the work that comes through, and these voices need to be in print. And so it was the Minnesota Historical Society Press that approached us and said, we want to publish an anthology because there's not one, and you need one. It wasn't, and that's significant to us because at that moment, the light bulb that went on for me was, we are a part of Minnesota's fabric, and we are a part of Minnesota's history. And we within the community who've been coming every month or every quarter know this, but now people outside are recognizing that as well. And that was the impact of the civil literacy that you're talking about. That's the culmination. It's we are being recognized by our words and by our stories.
I can imagine that there are answers to both questions that I'm about to ask you, kind of wrapped up into one. Mm-hmm. One would be, what in a perfect world you would communicate to an LGBTQ member of the community who picked this book up? What would make you feel the best if someone said, I read the book and this is how I felt, or this is how it touched me? And the second part of the question is, for someone who is not a part of the community, what would you want them to take away from reading it? What would make you happiest if you heard from somebody who said, I read your book and I felt blank? Fill in the blank.
I think I can answer that by reading a paragraph of the introduction, because that's in the introduction of the book, we talk about the making of the reading series, and then we also talk about the making of this anthology. And if I could just read one paragraph, I think I'll answer both of those questions.
I'd love that.
Queer Voices, Poetry, Prose, and Pride, that's the name of the anthology. Queer Voices, Poetry, Prose, and Pride is the byproduct of a united community. The lush complexity of voices, from the cries of gay men who have lost lovers and themselves to disease and war, to the shouts of lesbians as they meet their queer idols and still fight for basic human rights, to the whispers and defiant declarations of transgender men and women who find themselves navigating a new world, to the myriad reflections of the bisexual and the gender fluid. These are the voices that make up our community. These are the new and emerging voices that still need to be heard, both in person and in print. The voices featured in this anthology write to further understand this world and who we are in it. We write to embrace that understanding and to share it with others. This has been one of the most successful evolutions of the Queer Voices reading series, and one we hope will further evolve with the publication of this book. So to answer your question, it really is about further understanding who we are in this world, both for ourselves and for others. So the ideal comment is, I got a better understanding of myself, and I have a better understanding of who I am in the world around me.
What a beautiful thought and way to and goal, I think, for any. And of course, the really good things that we've read in our lives, fiction, nonfiction, whatever they are the ones that we realize have stuck with us in that sense and have given us a better understanding either of ourselves or of something truly significant to us as we move forward. John, thank you so very much. Please tell me that there did you have any conversations at all with the Historical Society about the idea of perhaps a second volume somewhere down the line? There are so many voices that you've captured here in this moment, and yet a moment a year from now, a moment 5 years from now, could be very different voices, or even the same voices, but with very different stories. It seems to me that a series, I think a series is always wonderful.
And thank you for raising that. I mean, we are riding this wave right now. We've had numerous book readings since the publication of this book. We just had one up in Duluth last week, which was fairly successful and very well received. We have three more scheduled in the Twin Cities in over the next month and a half or so. And we're still riding this wave, but I appreciate your comment, because one of the things that, you know, there are 44 authors published in this book, and we've had hundreds of people read through our series over the last 13 years. And so I should also mention that the reading series, it stopped because the organization that was hosting it no longer exists, but we will be resuming it this fall. And this reading series is the longest reading series of its kind in the country. And the reason why that is, the reason why that's happened, is because of the quality of the writers that have gone through this series and the quality of the voices that are speaking. I agree with you that there are many more voices that need to be heard, and hopefully we can pitch that to the Historical Society Press when we have those voices ready to be in print.
John, thank you again so much for joining us this morning. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much.
John Medeiros is one of the co-editors and a contributor to a new volume called Queer Voices, Poetry, Prose, and Pride, an anthology published by the Minnesota Historical Society Press. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.